comic creators, artists, writers, world builders, this is your call to action. Here at Talking Comics, we love diving into the stories behind the story. Whether you're just starting out or you've been in the game for years, we want to hear your journey, your creative process, and what fuels your imagination. So, ready to talk comics with us? Message us or hit the link in our bio and be a guest on Talking Comics. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you guys being here. Will, it's been great talking with you and organizing all this. Stephanie, thank you for agreeing.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Welcome to Talking Comics. But before we jump into all the comic fun, you know, Stephanie, if you want to just like introduce yourself and tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Stephanie Phillips. I write comic books primarily right now, doing a lot of Marvel, Spider-Gwen, Phoenix, the new upcoming Planet She-Hulk that comes out in November. And then I do a lot of my own comics as well, like Grimm, working at Distillery on books like Life and Endeavor that just came out, I want to say, two weeks ago.
Time
has no meaning. So last week. So that's me in a nutshell, I guess.
Awesome. How about you, Will? Tell us about yourself.
I'm Will Dennis. I'm an editor in comics. I've been editing since 1999. I was an editor at Vertigo for 16 years until they moved to California, and then I've been freelance since then. I just had my 10th year of freelance in April of 2025. Yeah, and I work a lot lately with Stephanie on all her stuff, Distillery on a lot of their books, worked at Image. Oh, geez, take your pick. Like any of the ones, a lot of work at Comixology over the years, Comixology Originals, Dark Horse, First, Second, you know, pretty much any place that will have me on a project, I'm there. Which is good. I mean, it's interesting compared to like the first 16 years where I was, you know, working in an office in New York and doing a lot of stuff. Like this has been a different, the last 10 years have been like essentially the polar opposite of that, you know?
Doing the freelance.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's okay.
So how did you two meet and get started together?
That is a good question.
During COVID, an artist first linked us together, kind of did an introduction, because he was doing some stuff at Comixology, and it was like, you know, should we pitch here for a project we were working on? So it was kind of like we had met a bit. And then I don't know what, like a few years ago at New York Comic Con, we kind of just sat down because I had a lot of creator owned. So it was like, I wanted somebody to work on everything I was doing. And, so we kind of just had a meeting and it was like, do you want to do this? And it was like, yeah, okay, well, that's easy.
Right. So, yeah. I don't even remember that meeting. I remember the very first meeting because we were working on this book, Black Sight, which was a Comixology Originals book.
Yeah.
A lot of those, some of those books, they don't have editors, but yeah, on a number of them, they do, like, you know, Stephanie's and Scott Snyder. I worked on all his books and some other ones. And, you know, it helps to just sort of help run the trains and stuff. So, but yeah, you were doing a lot of things. You were kind of winding down Grimm, which is like a big deal. And, then, you know, you were just getting hit with so much Marvel stuff at the same time. And then, you know, some of the big new things you're on at Marvel. So I think it made sense to kind of have someone in to help you transition out of all those things into something else, you know?
That was one of my questions. I was kind of excited when Stephanie emailed yesterday. It was like, can Will join? And I'm like, heck yeah, this is cool.
Oh,
I'm editor too, right? Like, for those of us like myself that doesn't really know, what exactly is the editor's role? What do you do?
Well, you know, like I said, it's somewhat different as a freelance editor than when I was at Vertigo, right? Like at Vertigo, you know, I worked on 100 Bullets, Why the Last Man, Scalp, DMZ, The Losers, you know, those are all my books that I worked on for years. And so, you know, in that capacity, you're kind of acquiring stuff, you know, people are pitching you, or in my early days, like I was going to people for pitches, but they would mostly pitch me stuff as time went on. Because in those days, getting a Vertigo slot was really like, that was, you know, like really like was the big league, right? Like if you made that leap to Vertigo, like you were pretty set, you know? So yeah, some of it is that it's like acquiring projects, it's finding new talent. It was all, you know, and then it's like running the actual books. It's like helping, you know, Stephanie has an idea and it's just maybe a paragraph or something, you know, and then with my help, like you kind of spin it up into, you know, is it a mini series? Is it a graphic novel? Is it an ongoing series? And then you're trying to, you know, you're building the arcs, you're building the stuff. So you're there to do all that. But then you also were like, you know, you're trying to find an artist, a letterer, a colorist, a cover artist, all that. And, you know, in those days too, you know, you're also working, you know, it's corporate, you're in a corporate office, Warner Brothers then. So it was like, you know, you're dealing with sales, marketing, accounting, you know, the production guys, the whole, because we had it all in house in those days, you know. Now I think it's very like remote. But then as a freelance editor, it's much more like, I'm not really in a position to be kind of picking winners and losers, you know, losers is a strong term, but you know what I mean? Like acquiring projects, right? Here, it's like, I'm often the last person hired on a book, you know, like Stephanie might already have a book put together with an artist and they're working on it and maybe they've got the team lined up, but then they come to me kind of often at the tail end, just as a person who's gonna oversee all of the, you know, every aspect of the thing. I mean, I'd love to just have a job where I was just like acquiring projects, working on the big ideas, that sort of stuff, and not the nuts and bolts of it. But that's just not the reality of it. Like, it's not. So yeah, I mean, you're down to reading all the scripts, seeing all the art, chasing the artist for pages, getting all the pages lettered. You know, then we go together. We'll go through the lettering and make notes and changes, seeing the color, the covers. And then if you work at a place like Image, like if you do a book at Image, Image is a great place to be, but you basically have to do it all yourself, right? Like a place like Distillery might have some, they have some internal staff, or Boom has, you know, they have a sales staff, they have a marketing staff. But a place like Image, you kind of are doing it yourself, right? So then you're also, you know, trying to do promotion and get in touch with retailers and do social media and all that sort of stuff. So I had to learn a lot of other things that I didn't have to do. Like, it, you know, I mean, I had it pretty good at Vertigo, right? I had a nice office, expense account, you know, people were coming to me all the time. I was saying no more than I was saying yes, you know, and I had people to do all this other stuff, you know, so, but freelance is a different story.
I was saying, Arica has a pretty good expense account too.
Yeah.
Comes from dad.
Right, exactly. But so, you know, it's good.
More, when I think about editor, right, I never thought about it as like a newspaper editor type thing. Like you're more in charge of the project. You're a project manager.
Almost. Yeah. It's closer to being,
you're not editing the periods and the explanation points.
No. That's like that. That's like, yeah. Most places, even a place like Distillery Image, they have a proofreader that's either on staff or like freelance. So at the very end of the process, like once we're happy with the lettering, we've pretty much got the book good to go. Like we usually send it to somebody to do a proof and then they'll go through and actually proof it, you know? And that's a specific skill because, you know, often dialogue and stuff is not written in such a way that it's grammatically correct, but it's, you know, vocally, whatever the word is, like, you know, sounds good to your ears. It's kind of the way it's written. So, yeah, it's much more akin to probably being like a movie producer, and often a movie producer maybe at like the lower end of, you know, like kind of a small budget movie producer where you're kind of in charge of running the trains, but also helping with the ideas, but also with the financing and everything else. So you have to do a lot. I mean, I had to learn a lot of other skills that I just didn't have to at a place like DC where there was 10 people for every, you know, job kind of thing.
Right. Okay. So but. Stephanie, like, so working with the editor, like one of my biggest question, I read Binary, you know, last couple weeks ago. Shame on me. I had no idea it was part of an event, like a comic event, and until I read the book. And I was like, oh, so I went back and I got the first issues. I haven't read them yet, but I will. What's it like to write for an event like that?
Yeah, I mean, I've done it a couple of times at Marvel and DC. And I mean, it's a lot of moving parts. It's like you're a part of something bigger, way more than just doing either a miniseries or an ongoing. It really is like you are kind of beholden to the main event, what's going on in the event, what are the other writers doing. I mean, I liked the idea that I came up with for Binary. I mean, I liked because she's really, by the nature of the story, stuck under a dome. And so, you know, I like things that, yeah, I'm part of the event, but, you know, it's very much still a part of my personality to be a little off in my own corner, dealing with the parts of the event kind of in my own way. And, you know, very much Phoenix was like that as well. Like when the X line rebooted, it's like, you know, a lot of the X characters, there's a lot of crossover between the books. And this isn't to say I dislike anyone. I actually, like, I love all these other writers. I like being in the same room with them. I love sharing ideas with them. I just think by how I write that, I, you know, I prefer the characters like Phoenix that are a little bit more, she's off in space doing her own thing. And yes, there's check-ins and we're still going to reference these other bits. And I know what's going on. I read all the books and I keep up with it. I talk to all the other writers. You know, there are some moments with Cyclops and Jean where I was talking with Jed McKay directly, who's writing the main X line, and talking with Jed about like what their interactions will be like. And I love that stuff. But I think just based on who I am personality wise, too, I kind of tend to like characters that are a bit off on their own, a bit kind of doing their own thing, that have a lot of room to do weird things with or take more chances. And so even with a big event, I try to find those moments. And so putting Binary literally under a dome was kind of a fun move for our team.
Mm-hmm. I did like that part. But I guess you're under kind of the same constraints, even writing like Ghost Spider, right? In a way, because it's still part of a universe, just not an event, sure. I guess. Or is that even worse? Is that harder?
I don't think it's harder. I mean, again, like I have a really great relationship with Joe Kelly. So, you know, it's great if I need or, you know, want to message Joe and talk about stuff. You know, Joe and I were talking recently about kind of a crossover idea and kind of jamming on that. And it's like, I like that. I do like these small elements of being collaborative because a lot of my job is kind of solitary. And I don't think I'm like, I'm good at being a homebody, but I still don't think I'm the most solitary. Like, I mean, Will will tell you, like when I'm working, I really love talking about the ideas. I love hearing his thoughts on them. Like even recently I was writing something and I called him up to kind of like read the narration out loud and like, this is how I hear it and be like, you know, what do you think? How are you hearing this? Like I like having that kind of collaborative element and finding ways. Cause it's like, I don't know, I guess that's the binary element of me. I've got like two very, very disparate parts of my personality. Like I can be a loner, but I'm a loner that wants to be a little collaborative. So.
Right.
Well, try and figure it out. I don't know.
We are beyond excited to share the Chronicles of Panel Pete, a brand new comic coming in early 2026. Written by Talking Comics podcast host AJ Ryman and co-written and illustrated by Mike L. Jewett, Torque Arts Comics. Panel P is a heartfelt comic about courage, imagination, and the hero within. Sure, he may stir up a little mischief, but at the end of the day, he's the hero we all need. Expect variant covers, exclusive merch, and much more. Follow the links in our bio, hit that Notify Me on launch on Kickstarter, and join us on this adventure.
You've been a huge inspiration for me because I actually wrote my own comic too, so it's crazy.
But nice.
Well, that's awesome.
We have a mascot for the Panel Pete, we call him, for the podcast. Oh. And he's like a comic bubble, right?
Oh, that's so cool.
He comes to life. I do different graphic design. I'm not an artist, but I hired an artist. But it was really cool to sit there and write the script and off of your videos off TikTok, like, you know, this is what I do. I take a notebook 1 through 20 and I write my pages. Right, yeah. You know, I was like, well, that's what I'm doing. And I sat on a plane for 6 hours and wrote the script. That was cool. So it was pretty cool. Wow.
That's awesome. I'm glad that's amazing. Helpful.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it was like 10 because the flight there and back. So, and I did a little editing. I don't have an editor yet. You available, Will? I'm just kidding.
For you, yes. For you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anytime. You know, you can pay me in podcast dollars. Part of my job is also
game down there.
Part of my job is figuring out like what these, you know, creators need, right? You know,
right?
Like Stephanie is very collaborative. Like they're all slightly isolated, weird characters, like in their own way. Or else they would. I mean, this is what we. Well, this is what we used to say. This is what we used to say.
In the beginning, like, we were going to be nice
at DC. You know, like people would come in, and particularly you'd get like new people, you'd get like assistants and things, and you know, you'd be trying to train them, and you know, freelancers would be late on a script, right, late on the art. It was always chasing them, and they'd get really like bent out of shape. Like, you know, why can't they get the stuff in? I don't understand. And I was just like, look, if they were regular, normal people, they would have regular, normal jobs, you know, but they're not. So you have to make some allowances for that part of the process, right? So, but like someone like Stephanie, Scott Snyder, people like that really want a lot of feedback. They want a lot of back and forth. They want to conversate about it, you know, and often even with Stephanie, 90% of the time or more, like she's already got it figured out. And I think it's just that sort of, it might be a scene, right? And we were just talking about She-Hulk, like right before we got on here, like the, you know, one of the upcoming issues. And it was like, the whole thing was there, but it was just like, yeah, but it's missing this one sequence, you know? And then we sort of just talked that through. Whereas other people will just send you complete scripts and be like, this is it. Like I'm, you know, and not to say they won't take notes and stuff, but you know, it's like a very like off on their own process. And then, you know, you're just kind of intaking it and pushing it back out to people. So, you know, so I mean, you have to sort of figure all that out as you go.
So it was a really cool experience for me when I found an artist, because I was very inspired by doing these interviews with all these indie creators and stuff. I was super inspired to write my own comic, like for the podcast. And I wrote it and I sent it, got an artist, sent it to him. The coolest thing to me is getting pages back. That's part of something that I wrote. Like, I'm sure everybody, you guys have that same feeling. But the coolest thing to me was he would add words here and there, like, because he's doing the lettering too. And so he would add some word and it just made it so much better. And I'm like, okay, how do you feel about that? Do you guys like that? Or do you want it stuck strictly to yours? Or what do you think?
Either one.
Raise your hands.
Well, it's never my word, so I don't.
Okay, you know. You don't do mine? Any
no.
No, I don't let anybody touch my words. I just, you know, I edit it pretty meticulously in terms of like how somebody is speaking and in what way they're speaking. Everything I do is incredibly deliberate. So, you know, between myself and the editor, you know, there's always a final pass on everything. But no, I mean, I work with the same letter for the majority of what I do, Tom Napolitano. If I can have somebody letter everything, it's Tom, and Tom knows that. I love working with Tom. And, you know, I think it's a lot of artists I know have like a preferred colorist, like this person colors my work well. And for me, I think Tom just letters the work really well, and also interacts with the art on the page in a way that's like he's adding and he's not ever subtracting from what's been drawn. He makes really good choices about placement. And it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't know how much a reader notices that, but I mean, I hope they do, because Tom is just really skilled and really smart at what he does. He's not changing what I've done. He's just giving it the visual impact on the page, because the cool thing about a comic is like, yes, you're reading the words, but the words also become a bit like an art form as well, whether it's in terms of a font or maybe the balloon is like, you know, somebody's weak or they're dying, so it's got like jagged edges, and it's like you it gives it this impact, this really cool visual impact to the words that you don't get from other forms of written storytelling. It's just such a cool thing. So I love lettering. I love Tom's lettering. But I've been really fortunate to work with some great letterers in the industry as well.
Yeah, but I mean, that sounds like you're sort of not as collaborative as you are, you know, because it's like, well, yeah, you don't really want people messing with the dialogue, for instance. But you're very collaborative in terms of, and I think all the good writers are like this, that it's like, when you read their scripts, they basically are sort of like a guide, but not like a really, really like do it this way. You know, I mean, some people do write like that, and I don't find those writers particularly easy to work with, nor all that interesting. You know, like when the scripts are these like, you know, move the camera 45 degrees and zoom in on like, you know, that kind of stuff. Cause it's like, well, you're the writer, like they're visually And any artist is generally, their brain works in a different way than like a writer's brain works, right? You know what I mean? And they're very visually oriented. So it's like, I don't know why you would be making choices for them that they aren't making for you, you know? So, yeah. So Stephanie is incredibly like collaborative in that respect, that like when stuff comes back in, I mean, I don't think you've ever, yeah, things, if there's issues of clarity, other things like that, but if an artist is making choices, like where the camera is, what they're showing, binding a panel, opening up a panel, like I've never really heard you chirping about that, you know? And it's the same with the letter, may decide this is a wavy balloon, or I'm going to do big sound effects or little sound effects, or it's a whisper thing or something. And sometimes that's in the script, but sometimes it isn't, you know? And like the good people will sort of, no, but the really good pros will, like Stephanie and other people, like you got to let those people do what they want to do, right? Because they're not just there to implement your scary good vision of comics, because it is a very collaborative medium. Like,
and it's a lot of making choices, and you know, it's allowing other people to make smart choices based on their expertise. Like Tom, who letters most of my stuff, he makes really cool choices about what he's doing. They're very smart, deliberate choices about everything from placement to font to size. All of those things are choices, and he's making them based on years of expertise. And same with the artists I work with. You know, I want them to bring that expertise to the page. So if the artist is adding panels or changing something up, you know, in She-Hulk, Aaron had an idea to give one of the characters a different style weapon than was imagined in the script. And I was like, that's freaking cool idea. Like, yeah, absolutely. Like, go for it. Like, I love the idea. It looks cool on the page. And it's our story. And that's, you know, this is how Aaron is interpreting the story and visualizing the story and what he's adding and bringing to the page. And it's his storytelling decisions are incredible. You see it, like, even before dialogue is added to those pages, just reading Aaron's pages, reading Aaron's artwork, you can see the choices that Aaron makes. And it's like, this is an expertise that he's bringing to the page that just makes it, really like pushes the book, you know, over to a new level when you see those decisions like in reality.
Yeah, but like a lot, I mean, I've worked with plenty of people that don't have that attitude, you know, and it doesn't generally end well, right? You know, I mean, I think you have to sort of, I think if you want a long career, and I would say this to young people, anybody trying to get in, like you have to the easiest thing to do is just hire people who are really good at what they do and then let them do what they do, you know? But a lot of people aren't willing to give up that control because they just, you know, they think it's their vision or they're just insecure or whatever. But I think it's always the best advice, or the advice I try to give to people is just like, you know, like my job is very easy if I've hired the right people to do it, you know? I don't have to be going crazy managing a lot of stuff, you know? So yeah, I think that's, and Stephanie's great at that, that she just sort of understands, you know, what they're good at, what she's good at, you know, and you fight for stuff and there's things that you want to change or there's things that you really feel are essential. But, you know, yeah, I mean, it's such a huge, I mean, that's a cool part of the job though, because it is so collaborative and it's a very small group of people. It's not like a movie set where there's 100 people running around, right? There's like her and me and an artist, and maybe the artist does his own colors or maybe she doesn't, you know? And a letterer, and that's about it, you know? So it's like between the four or five of us, like you're able to crank out like, you know, infinite amounts of pages, you know?
I really enjoyed the dialogue in the first few pages of Binary, where it's like she had the monologue in her head, but then there was conversation going on too. Like, I was thinking about like my writing of a script and I'm like, yeah, that's way above my head. So like, I don't think I could pull that off. That was really cool. And how that come across as like in lettering, and then you think about the art, and it's just really cool. But basically you're saying is let the artist read and interpret the way they want to interpret it. And then, you know, clean it up at the end. I love that.
Yeah. We spend a lot of time at the end, right? Like, you know, once it's lettered, I think at that point is always, you know, everybody makes a pass. Like she'll make her notes, I'll make my notes. Sometimes an artist, I've had some books where an artist is involved in that process, but often they either don't want to be, or, you know, just starts to complicate things too much, too many cooks in the kitchen. But then, you know, that's the point where you're sort of really fine tuning everything, right? Like you're kind of looking to cut stuff, looking to economize, looking for like where the artist did something visually that you don't need an explanation, right? You know, a lot of people want to overwrite and just like tell you what you're already seeing, but like it's a visual medium ultimately. So that to me is like the really fun part of the process, is that last like little kind of nip and tuck that you do, which I don't know if everybody does that. I don't know if every team does that. I don't really know, but like Stephanie and I definitely, I feel like we make a lot of like, you know, good choices there at the very end that, you know, hopefully are making it better.
You want to ask one of your questions? They're on your sheet. Read them and think about it. I'll ask another one.
Which one?
The top part. I make her own script. She yelled at me one time. She's like, why don't I have a script? So I make her scripts now and she don't read them.
But she sounds like a real writer already. This is great. You're getting a real taste of the writer-editor dynamic here, you know?
That's a good point. I never thought of that. I'm the editor of this podcast. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right, exactly, man.
I'm learning.
All right.
So what is the most challenging aspect of writing? Is it, well, like, so for an established universe or in your own world, created world?
I guess actually write it. Like sitting down and actually doing it. It's like you can sit there and talk about ideas. You can like outline, research, you know, read a bunch of books or like prepare to write. And then it's like, then you have to actually sit there and put the words on the page. And it's like every time I start a new script, I feel like, oh my goodness, like how am I gonna, like, I've never done this before. And it's like, I've done it hundreds of times and it still is like every new script is still like, all right, I have to like get into the script. Like once page one is done, I kind of feel a little better. Once page three is done, that's usually when I feel like, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. I know how to write a script.
We're good.
Yeah.
Why are all of these abbreviated?
I don't know. No, the top part.
This is the gotcha question that we were promised
right,
we were going to get.
Probably right
here.
Here
it comes, guys.
I can't wait.
Okay, what is your favorite Easter egg in your work that fans might have missed?
Oh. I think I reference things that I really like in my work. For a long time, it was Bruce Springsteen references that I would hide. Something as obvious as like in Harley Quinn, there's a Hungry Hearts Bar and Grill in one issue that they spend like a lot of time in. Kind of hiding lyrics or, you know, having references to it in places. Even in Harley Quinn, there's an entire issue of Harley Quinn that references one of my favorite episodes of Parks and Recreation. So, like, things I like are very much, like, homaged in different ways. I'm trying to think of anything else I've, like, really hidden, but I think that's...
You definitely... Grimm was filled with all kinds of song lyrics, you know, from different songs that, you know, some people would get, but some of them were fairly... esoteric or like personal kind of songs that, you know, because think even people, I've seen people ask you like, do you write all these songs yourself? And you're like, yes I do.
That song was written by Robert Smith
right,
the Cure,
exactly.
But okay.
Right. if I didn't write it, it was probably Robert Smith with the Cure that
It wasn't me,
right. That's your first port of entry.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of music, for sure. I'm trying to, I think at some point I did stop kind of putting things like that into the work. Like, I think there was maybe a bit of an evolution where I went from like, this is so much me put into the story I'm writing, to instead I'm like really now adapting myself to the character. So like my She-Hulk reads nothing like Binary. It reads nothing like Spider-Gwen. If anything, Spider-Gwen maybe has a lot of other things hidden, like not so much hidden, but just like I'm kind of writing like teenage me, like her relationship with her father or the band that she's starting, which has been super fun. to get to put like a character in the band that's kind of upcoming, and she's kind of like a little bit of a goth punk rocker, and like it's kind of fun to write things that I'm like, oh, this is so much like my teenage years that I get to like put into Gwen, but also like amplify them in cool ways. Like there's some wish fulfillment in being like, you're a teenager with superpowers. I mean, that's what Gwen is. That's what Spider-Man is. So,
yeah.
I don't know that I'm so much like hiding those things anymore as like finding new ways to adapt myself to the type of character I'm writing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also like, there's a level of sort of fanness to that kind of stuff, you know, which is fun. And in a book like Harley or Spider-Gwen, I think it makes sense. But it's like, you're also trying to present in these other situations, like, you know, maybe heavier, more mature themes and stuff. And I feel like personally, when I see those sort of cheeky insertions, it starts to take me out of the immersive quality of the experience, you know? It gets a little, you know, things that are too self-referential or trying to be a little too cheeky, you know, sometimes. So I feel like you've definitely, you don't put it into, you know, those sorts of things. But it's, you know, you do a little fan service, which is nice. But I mean, it's one of the biggest things that you've talked about it on your TikTok, like the business of when you're a fan of something and then you're working in that same world, like that really presents like a lot of interesting challenges that you don't always see going into that situation, right. You know?
Very true.
All right. Good question.
Nope. Okay. She don't want to ask that question.
That's it. Game over. See you later. Thanks for coming.
Do you want me to ask it?
I don't know.
No. Okay. Fine.
Hey, public speaking is our.
So go into the PR aspect of it. What do you like about that? And what's your favorite part of the PR marketing of the books? And
look at her face. That's you can tell that this is her favorite part. No.
Yeah, I mean, I love the work and I like the engagement. I think the difficulty comes from like coming from an old school train of thought of like the death of the author, where it's like I don't think people should hear or see me, but that's not the world we live in. That's not how work happens. It's really difficult when people ask questions about like, well, what does this mean? And it's like, I'm not answering that. Like, I'm never going to answer those questions. Because at least there's a line for me between like the work I do on the page and presenting myself and talking to people about what I do or how I do it. But still not wanting to interpret that work for people. Like, I want them to have the experience of reading it without me telling them how to read it or how they should feel about it. If that's possible anymore in the age of everybody's online and your face is online, I don't know if that's possible, but I'm trying. Like, that's
right.
That's the hope. But I mean, I guess I really like the engagement. I really like I like that people want that kind of connection. And I think that says something probably larger about our society, like looking for connection. And it's like, that's cool that we've gotten to form a little bit of an online community of people that read and like comic books and stories. And I think that there's nothing but positivity there. I think that's cool. And seeing it translate into real life, too, like the amount of people I met at New York Comic Con that I follow on these like online spaces and getting to speak with them in person. It's like those things do carry on outside of digital communities. I think that's really cool. I think it's important. It's just, you know, coming from somebody that, you know, I didn't grow up with social media. I didn't grow up with a phone or a computer. So that's like a change for me.
You're not that old though. I don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
I didn't have social media until college. Hmm. With what was the first one? MySpace.
MySpace? Like,
yeah, man. Yeah. We take it. We keep saying we want to bring back the The top eight? I mean, come on. Yes. Top eight would be...
Some people need to know where they stand in right. the top eight. I think that's...
It used to cut through a lot of the... A lot of the BS, like, you know, and people, you'd move people up and down, like your fantasy football, you know, manager, like it was great, but...
You go in one day and see that somebody dropped you from, like, second like, suddenly, place like,
what
to
did
fifth?
I do? Like, no! Oh my God. It was a self-correcting system, but yeah. But yeah, sadly, oh I mean, God. I know. It'd be great to live in a world where the work was just enough, you know, but but it isn't, but I think it provides, like you said, I mean, it isn't by and large a very positive community, and I think your experiences definitely have been by and large like really positive. And I mean, even this past New York Comic Con, I really noticed like a big sea change in the amount of people that started the conversation at your booth with, oh, I love your stuff on TikTok. I follow you on TikTok, you know, which, yeah. I mean, we haven't been doing this together very super long, a few years, but I felt like every conversation you had that was somewhere was in there, you know? So it's clearly making a difference in terms of the engagement with people, you know, which is, I mean, ultimately, like, you know, it's a huge thing, particularly in a world that's filled with so much toxic stuff and, you know, those things, to see so many people happy to see you in real life and take pictures and meet you and stuff it's awesome, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's also just like something I, you know, something I said to Will, I think prior to the show, was just like, there's also for me, like a real fear of like, is somebody going to come meet me and be like, like this is not like this is lame, you're like you're cooler on TikTok, and it's like what a I should make those shirts. I'm cooler on TikTok is great. I probably am, like, you know, I'm in a controlled environment where I, you know, my cat is next to me, I control the environment, I control the editing tools of the video. You know, it's, I've done a couple live streams, but mostly it's like on my time, on my terms. And then in real life, like, I mean, I'm kind of awkward. I'm not the most social, I'm not super extroverted. So, like I can be, for bits and pieces, and like, I think I've gotten better, but like conventions used to just make me really anxious. And so it's like, you know, the whole environment, like there's so much going on, there's so many people, and I would just get really anxious and I would like leave. And I think I've gotten a lot better with the situation. Like definitely, like I've done it enough now where I've kind of learned, but it became like a real weird vulnerability of like, I have put myself out there so much and people like know my face and they know my voice. And then there's this like fear of like a real life situation. That's like, it's really weird to explain that, but it's like, I don't know. It was a situation everything was great and fine. I had a lot of fun, so I hope a lot of other people had fun at the convention, but it's just a weird thing to learn. Like, I haven't been doing that kind of thing very long. I don't have, like, a rule book for it. It is me doing it. You know, Will helps sometimes with some of the, like, editing or reviewing things before I post or whatever, but there's not, like, a social media team behind anything I'm doing. There's not a strategy.
I was wondering about that. That's not on my list, but I was wondering because
it appears there's no strategy.
And I think they're great. I mean, you're doing a great job with the TikTok.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
A couple months, few months I've been following it.
She really does like devote a lot of time to it, you know? And I feel like it's paying off. I mean, hopefully it's paying off, you know, and engagement and sales too, honestly. I mean, part of it is, you know, you hope that it's like a sales tool that will drive people to pick up your stuff, but it's very authentic. Yeah. I mean, it isn't, like I said, I mean, we might talk a little bit about stuff, but, or maybe we just come up some topics or whatever, but, you know, generally speaking, it's like, but yeah, you take a good chunk, let's say your weekend, like on a Sunday or something, like you're always, you know, because I think the big thing we learned with TikTok early on when she was really starting to grow stuff at the beginning of the year was like, you got to post like every day, right? That's like the big adage, you know, and maybe multiple times a day, but you just the consistency that like the algorithms really respond to. So, yeah. So you'll sit on a Sunday and like bang out like five or six or more video so that you have them all week and just can kind of roll them out, you know?
The biggest thing I figured is, like, I started just really having fun doing it. Like, when we go to conventions, like, filming, like, this is what I'm doing, or, you know, forcing people, like, you know, I've had cameos from people like Ryan North or Chip Zdarsky, like, when we did what are people wearing to the Eisners video, which Will is in that. Ryan North is in that, some of the distillery crew. And it's like, just us making that was so much fun. It and like fun, asking yeah. people, yeah, it's like asking everybody, like, I mean, you can see, I hope you can see it on Ryan's face in the video. I was like, Ryan, would you like to be in this video? And Ryan was like, yes, I would. Like, let me tell you about my cufflinks and my pocket square. Right, and it's like, these people that I get to sit in a room with, you know, I think Chip Zdarsky, I think a lot of people kind of know his personality. He's pretty outgoing. But getting him on the channel and having fun with him, I mean, the outtakes of the video that I have with Chip are pretty great too. But it's a fun thing that I'm doing with them. Like, when I show up somewhere, I think a lot of my friends know that, like, Mark Brooks will kind of ask me at a con now, like, hey, you want to make a TikTok? Like, this is like, you know, I think people have fun with it too, because I'm having fun with it. And I, you know, like Will said, I really don't want to make a commercial for my books. That's not what I'm trying to do. If you end up buying things, like, that's great. But part of it was, I'm having fun doing it. I like doing it. And then the teacher in me can't help it. I was getting asked so much by new writers for, like, advice or opinions on things. And at first I was trying to, like, help every individual person. And then it's like, I'm writing, you know, 3 books at Marvel, my own 2 books or whatever it is. It was really becoming a very big stressor, because I am a teacher. I was a teacher for so long. That's something that, like, will automatically trigger me to, like, I want to be involved. I want to help you. And a friend of mine recommended, like, well, have you taken to TikTok? Like, try this format. And so that was really, like, the beginning of it, was all these questions I'm getting asked, the emails I'm getting, the messages or whatever. I'm going to turn those into, like, mini, like, here's my lesson on it. Here's what I would do, or here's what I think about it. And I'm not in the classroom teaching anymore, but I guess, like, just years of teaching comes out in, like, sure, I'll make a mini lesson about this, or here's how I do this. I'm really blown away by people finding it helpful. I thought it would be a very, very niche, like, a few people would like it, or if people ask a question, I can point them to the video I made. And I'm really happy to hear that people are taking that and able to actually use them and put it into practice. That's, like, that's what any teacher wants to hear, right? Like,
it's great. Yeah. It doesn't come across as you lecturing, right? It's very genuine, like Will said. And you even handle, like, the haters, like, perfectly.
Oh, I love the videos. Haters.
Those are so much. those are probably my favorite videos.
Those are good.
I know. Yeah. I kind of lost track of some of them. I was saving them so I could do videos like that. And then, I don't know what happened. Maybe I just haven't been getting as much hate lately. But don't worry, it'll come back. We'll make a new Marvel announcement in a couple of weeks, and there will be a new
cycle.
That was That was my going to be my last question, but you can't announce that yet.
No, I think early November, like, maybe second week of November is kind of the aim for that. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Well, we could have rescheduled this for then, but whatever. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you'll be in Thought Bubble that week.
Yeah, we'll be in Europe.
Unless you're going to do multi-time zone, you know, thing.
Was the cat on screen?
No, there was a cat outside the window.
Oh, sorry. Oh, she was so excited when she found out you had cats too, because she has, like, 3 of them. So,
that's good. Yeah, mine was here. She just left because I think I made a noise she didn't like. She's very, very particular, like me.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
All right, I only got, like, one more actual question. I got some fun questions, but what is one thing? And this is both of you. I'd love both of your answers. What is one thing, like, you didn't realize in the, like, when you first started, that you wish you knew going in about writing or anything about comic related?
You want to go first?
You want me to go first? I'll go first.
Sure.
Okay. I think I didn't realize what it was going to be like moving from something that I was so passionate about as a fan to doing as a job, you know. That was definitely an adjustment. And it's kind of a loss, honestly, you know, like it's sort of a loss. Like after 25 years of this, when I think back on comics and like how much they meant to me at certain ages, you know, like your daughter's age or lighter as a teenager and all the struggles you go through. And it was just always kind of there for me, you know, like the visits to the comic shop, the buying them, you know, the having the stack you were working through instead of doing whatever like other kids were doing, that kind of stuff. So then to go and do it as a job and start to realize, like, while it's fun, it's still a job, you know, and you have to take it seriously. It's a profession, you know. And I think some people fall into the trap of they never make that transition from being a fan to being a pro. And so for me, like, that's a big part of just being a professional is just that it's like you have to kind of put some of that aside. But it's, you know, it's kind of a bummer. Like, I think you... Well, Stephanie, you mentioned it even just the other day. Was it in a video or were we just talking about it? Where it's like, I can read stuff and there's things I can enjoy and I can sort of, you know, but you're always, there's part of your brain now that's always like, why did they make this choice? Or, oh, this artist is pretty good. I should reach out to them. Or, you know, ah, this doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't know. Like, they kind of dropped the ball here where you're always analyzing it on some level that, you know, comes back to the work that you're doing, you know? So, that to me was probably the biggest impact, you know, and change when I first started was just to be like, oh, that weekly trip to the shop that I looked forward to and the community there and everything, you know, that it changed like really fast, you know, and that was definitely a big learning curve for me. Yeah.
Do you still go to the shop weekly now?
I've been trying to more recently. I definitely went through a long period where I wasn't, like, back in the day at DC, like, we used to all go together, like, kind of it was a ritual thing, like big groups of people would go after work and go down. And I think the new ones come out now on Wednesdays. I feel like they were coming out like maybe Thursdays or Fridays in those days. But and then for a long time I didn't. But yeah, more recently I have been trying to go. And I don't really often I end up not buying stuff, but so, you know, too often, but it is cool to see kind of like what pops off the shelf or what other people are picking up or what the guy in the shop is talking about and that kind of thing, you know? I mean, I don't really, like, I'm in Connecticut now. So, I mean, I've lived in New York City since like the early 90s, but I mean, I mostly live in Connecticut now. There's a tiny little shop and I don't identify myself. So they don't know that I'm like in the business, you know? But I've never really done that before, but, you know, except when my mother or someone's with me and of course, like runs right up to the people behind the counter and is just like, you know, my son worked on this book or that book. And you're just like, and of course the universal response is that book sucks. You know, like that's usually
no, come on.
They're like, oh, that's your fault. You know, that's generally I mean, it's just, you know, comic book guys, how they are. Like, they're not going to be like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, it's generally just like, oh, sorry, dude. But, that's for me, it was the biggest eye-opening kind of change for me. I don't know, Stephanie, you came, your road here was so unusual that you might have a different answer, but.
So, I mean, I guess something I know now that I didn't is kind of just piggybacking on that. I mean, I agree with all of that. I feel all of that. And also just the way that I have worked to turn it into a business. Like, it is a full functioning bit of a business machine, whether it's Will, who does, we haven't come up with your official term, but, you know, something like a manager or something like that, where there's a lot of stuff that
struggles to get that out. Assisting comes out of your mouth a lot more easily, which
some people know what that word is more. I don't assisting manager, so managing assistant. No. I don't know.
No, it's a full business. You have a company. I mean, this is like
this operation. That's what I mean. Like, you know, beyond Will. I mean, I've got multiple attorneys. I've got an agent. I've got a an assistant who does everything for my conventions, or like a convention rep who sets up signings and brings all my books to signings. I mean, there is a bit of a, there's a bit of a machine. So every element is really, you know, throw in an accountant and like,
you're still trying to find a good accountant. That's always the struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. We've gone through a couple, but
my day job is, my title's operations manager. So if you need help.
All right. Okay.
Sounds
good.
There
you go. I like it. Yeah.
Annika, what's your title? You got to get in on this.
My title?
Yeah. What are you going to be?
Queen?
No. Of the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your title on the podcast?
A fun one.
Oh,
I love fun. That.
Yeah, well, I make.
I mean, she's the one with the skeletons, so
she does have
got a mallet, skeletons.
Well, I'm the fun one.
I was gonna say I have your books by him, but so does she. So I can't argue.
Have a great one.
Yeah, she has a great.
That's
book,
awesome.
So,
yeah. Oh, man, that's
that's a great number one Harley.
Harley Quinn.
I consider myself the fun one too. Actually, Annika,
I that's have great. That book in
my yes, in our company, Will is the fun one.
Yeah, she has four different copies of that book, or forms
of which
of that
book?
Oh, cool.
Of Harley number one.
Whoa.
That's
so
awesome.
Just to give you the story real quick, our birthdays are 2 days apart in December. And so I always take off. We go and just have fun, you know, whatever it is, do whatever. Well, we found ourselves in a comic shop this last year, and it was a game store too. I'm more like, I play a lot of games. Now you're into painting Warhammer, but you don't play, do you?
Both of us paint. Yeah. Yeah.
No, not really.
Play?
No, usually. I mean, I did years ago, but not anymore.
Yeah, I did 2 years ago. I actually owned a hobby shop years ago and played for board games, card games and stuff. Had a few comics, but that wasn't my main thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we were in a game store. They had comics too. She saw a Harley comic. I don't know which number it was. And she picked it up. She's like, "What is this?" I'm like, "It's cool. It's a comic book." She's like, "Can I get one?" I'm like, "Get 20. I'll get 10. I don't care. Like, anything to get you to read."
Yeah, right.
And she got it.
I got two.
She got two. She read them. And like 2 days later, we were in another comic shop. And we bought 1 through 24 of Harley.
Oh, whoa.
Wow.
And
holy
she
macro.
Loved them. And now we have like 10 boxes on the floor here of comic boxes.
Books. Oh, that's so cool.
But she's read so much, and her reading skyrocketed this year because of that. And then we started
that's amazing.
You know, 7 months ago, we started the podcast together. And this is going to be, I think, episode like 52. Which
52?
Is 52 in 7 Holy. Months. So we just did 50
That's
last Friday.
That's pretty incredible.
That's incredible.
51 this morning. So it's been an amazing journey. We've had a lot of fun together. So what were you going to say? I'm sorry, I cut you off. Four copies.
Mm. I have the same cover, but not graded.
All right.
I have a different cover. I don't know which one. And then I have the trade paperback.
Nice.
Yeah, she has all of it.
Wow.
She tends to go with the David Nakayama covers on all of them. So
that's fair. They're pretty awesome. So
that's great.
Let's see. I always like to ask before I stop the main part and we go to the fun questions. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you want to talk about, or you want to bring up that we haven't talked, or ask us any questions you might have?
Hmm. Well, I mean, politics and religion, I thought we'd cover both of those. That's cool. If you don't want to do that, that's cool.
I mean, I'm the editor of this podcast, so I can edit it out. It's no problem.
No, stop it. No, I don't know. I mean, this is amazing.
That was
I can't believe
answer.
I can't believe how prolific you guys are. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's great.
It's really, that's amazing.
It's very... Like, I guess you, Stephanie, if you would have told me a year ago that I would be sitting here in front of a microphone and a camera, you were crazy. Like, I would have called you crazy. It's never going to happen. I hated my voice. I hated the way I look on camera. And, we just kind of did it. And I love it. The other day we pulled up episode one just to watch it. And it's how far we've come from one to... Now 52, it's just it's amazing. And you just have to do it. Just like you said earlier about writing, you have to just write it. You know, sit down and write it.
Yeah.
We interviewed this other guy, T.S. Luther, the other day. or he's, yeah, he's just got published with Invader Comics.
Mm-hmm.
With the Digger. But that's like him. He's like, just Nike it, you know, just do it.
Gotta get in there
and do it. It's pretty awesome. So I appreciate that, you know. Steph, did you have anything you wanted to announce or cover or ask?
No, I don't think so.
Well, so we have just like some fun questions, and then if we have time, I know it's already 5 o'clock. If you guys are rushing for anything, let me know.
You're good.
So I'm gonna ask this and you both can answer. Like, who is your first favorite superhero?
Batman.
Ooh. Spider-Man was my first like real favorite. I know the first Batman comic I bought, which I know the cover.
Hold
I can
on.
Picture the
That's
cover.
Next
but,
question.
You know, okay. But the Spidey was like the first one that I was really like just like into, you know?
Yeah. That's cool.
All right. Will, do you remember the first comic book you ever read?
I don't know if it was the very first one, because, you know, you got stuff like Archie and the Ducks and all that stuff. But it was an issue of Detective Comics. It's like from like 1973 or 74. And the cover has Batman. He's got these golden statues like hanging from his wrists and his legs. And he's like been thrown in off this pier and he's like sinking in the water. These like statues are dragging him down. I think I don't think it's a Neil Adams cover, but it's very Neil Adams-esque. I think it might have been Irv Novik who was doing the stuff in that era. But yeah, I don't know. It's Detective. I can't remember the number, but that's the one I know. I know exactly where I bought it. I bought it at this place called Freddy's News in Oswego, New York, in probably like 1974-ish, maybe, you know? So I'm quite a lot older than I present on your podcast, so.
There you look 25 to me. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's how long I've been in comics. I used to have red hair. Now it's, you know.
We won't go into that.
But, yeah, that's it.
Hi, right, Stephanie. What was your first comic book you ever read or had?
I mean, I know I got, like, from a gas station. I was, like, picking up these, like, little, like, Archie ones. Like, I know I remember Sabrina. Like, I don't really remember reading it specifically, but I know it was like, you know, a black cat, witches, absolutely want that. But in terms of like going into a comic shop, there was one like next door to a store that my mom would go to, and it was like, if I didn't complain, she'd let me go in the comic shop. And I didn't really understand what they were. I just liked the animated series, the Batman animated series, so I wanted to buy some more stuff with Batman on it. So I was really buying like for artwork. And then the first thing I remember buying all together and like the realization of like, this is a story, was The Long Halloween. And that was like the first time I remember being like, oh, like this is like, it's not just me buying more Batman and looking at Batman, but I'm like reading these stories and I can engage with them more than just the animated show that I absolutely was obsessed with. And then from there, you know, I branched out quite a bit. And in high school, I know I went through like a really big Spider-Man phase. Everything had to be Spider-Man, whether it was like stickers, backpack. I had Spider-Man shoelaces. Like and then at some point, you know, it was like, I moved on to Superman from there. Like I went through a real Superman phase. So there were like kind of phases where it was very much around a specific character. And I was buying everything of that character.
Huh.
Love that.
Nice.
All right. What's your favorite current series? You can say your own.
I don't know. I mean, I guess like, I think The Absolute Line is really cool. Good. I haven't read all of them, but I just like started catching up on Absolute Batman this week, actually. I think it's really fantastic. I thought Absolute Wonder Woman was fantastic. The artwork on that one is really cool. So those are ones like, oh, and I also just caught up on Chip Zdarsky's new Captain America. I really liked that too. I was like, oh, this is, you know, the first time that I think I'm like fully like, I want to go to the shop every week or not every week, every month. You know, every time it comes out and pick up Captain America.
Huh. Yeah, you're a big Captain America fan. like quietly. I do like Cap. Which is not on brand for you at all.
No, it's really not.
Don't watch.
I like
I remember
Cap.
Her telling me that, and I was like, wow, really? That doesn't, I wouldn't have said, I wouldn't not, have said yeah. that. Yeah.
Don't
I
watch episode 6 of this podcast, please.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Oh, okay. So we're going to be doing a screening after this of episode 6 of the podcast.
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
Let's do it's a reaction funny. Video.
A friend, right. Oh, that would be.
Like a Mystery Science amazing. Theater 3000, just like, you know.
That would be even better.
Oh my God.
It's just a friend of mine. Him and I pick on each other. He thinks I hate Captain America. So I always just, you know, it's just a thing we do. So the whole, the Volstagg Captain America one shot that came out earlier this year, we read that. And like, I think Captain America is very immoral in that book and very, like, not a true, like, his true normal self in that book. So we had a whole discussion about it, and he chose sides, and it wasn't the right side. It was fun.
All right.
That sounds pretty good, actually. This is a good
content. Yeah, I'm interested.
Yeah, really. Suddenly right, I mentioned Captain America.
My views of episode 6 are going to skyrocket.
Who knew?
Ignore the quality of that video, too.
Remember when we forgot to record
the first half of it. Yeah. Oops. We had some growing pains.
I love it though. It's so like punk rock, man. It's awesome. Growing up as a kid in like the 70s and all my friends and everybody starting bands and just like kind of figuring out how to do it. Like,
right.
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's exciting. I know it's a tough time to live in for kids and being a parent. I have two boys who are like in their early 20s. But I do think this idea that like you can just figure it out. Like you can just do it. You know, like it's just like that mentality I think is really like important, you know, that it's just like, there aren't the gatekeep. And having spent half my career being like a gatekeeper, it's kind of an interesting place for me to be now that there aren't so many gatekeepers, you know, that you can, I mean, you could make your own comic tonight if you guys wanted to just put it out online and, you know, make it, you know, like, which is, it's awesome. You know, it's like that's really exciting. Point.
And that's exciting what I've been trying time. To do for my kids. Like, I have another daughter who's 24 and she's, you know, crazy. We love her. But
I say that about Stephanie all the time. It's great.
You know, she's just struggling. You know, she's young. And, you know, it's hard it's tough, for a man. Young person tough. Today.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
When I was 20, it was, well, I had her. So,
right.
You know, but I mean, it was hard. It was easier then, you know, 24 years ago than it was today, than it is today. I feel bad.
It's tough. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I do worry, even talking about my career early on, like how much of my career was predicated on my ability to make all these connections, you know, and like in-person connections. I definitely worry about, I think it was really must be tough at some of these companies, like even a place like DC where a lot of people are very remote or Boom, these companies. I don't know how younger people like make the same connections that I made that have, you know, stood me in good stead here for 25 years, you know, like those are the people that you constantly, I mean, we saw last week in New York Comic Con guys that I work with, you know, 15 years ago, but it was like, you just spent so much time going to lunch and going out for beers and going to things and events. And, you know, like that made a big difference, but you know, I don't know. I mean, it's like, I think I've said this to Stephanie, but it's like, you know, they found graffiti on the walls of Mesopotamia that said like, you know, kids these days have it, you know, they don't know how good they have it, or, you know, it's like in my day it was like this. So it's, some of it's just like, you know, these, it's always kind of like this in some ways, but yeah, it is tough for young 20 somethings. It's a struggle for sure.
But hopefully I can at least show Annika and, you know, anything's possible, right? Like,
yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. You're like modeling YouTube, this,
right?
You know, modeling this behavior is like the best thing you can be doing for anybody. You know, exactly. I mean, it's incredible. I can't believe how much you guys have done in such a short amount of time.
Thank you. We gotta, appreciate that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You just got to get the followers up one of these days. But, you know, I think you're dodging the question of your favorite current series.
I'm dodging it.
Yeah, you
did. I say it. Yeah. Oh, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah. I would say.
I told you I want to hit hard. Kidding.
I getcha. Yeah, this is the gotcha part. This is the gotcha part of the show. Yeah, I do. I would say the absolute Batman stuff. I mean, Scott talked to
it's
me
really good
before. You know, when he first started working on it, and was like, you know, seeing, hearing the story. Like, I remember I was on a trip. I had to drive to Hartford or something to do some, I don't know, stuff for my, you know, banking or some annoying thing. And I was in the car for like 2 hours and I was, and he called and he's like, oh, you know, I'm going to just walk through the story of the first issue. Like, just listen, you know, I don't have to talk. Like, I just mute him, you know, and he's just like, and it's like, but it is like the whole thing. He's like doing voices. He's doing all, oh, and then this happens and then this happens and this happens. And I was like, man, like, you've given this a lot of thought, I see, you know, like, but it, yeah, it's just a, yeah, I mean, I think it's a really cool kind of take on, you know, stuff. Like, there is enough of the Easter eggs you guys were talking about before, but they're not, they seem to make sense. Like, the dots kind of connect in cool ways that, that, you know, aren't just like sort of fan service or, right, you know, yeah.
Well,
so that's what I'd say.
A little insight, the A in AJ stands for Alfred.
Oh.
And so I've always grown up being a Batman fan and being, you know, like, or if somebody asked me what A stands for, I'll be like, well, it's Batman's butler. And if they couldn't answer it, we couldn't be friends.
Right, exactly.
And, so funny.
But it shocked me in the first issue when he shot Batman, or he shot Alfred. You know, yeah, yeah, it's, yeah, crazy. I was like, but it's such a great series. All right, here's the next one. If you could live in any comic book universe, which one would it be?
Oh, ooh, well, I feel like we're living in Judge Dredd's universe at the moment, but we won't go down that road.
We'll watch that later.
Oh, I don't know. What is it, Stephanie?
I mean, I think you want to say something like Metropolis, where Superman is like kind of protecting. It's like, I don't know which one has the least amount of villains. Like,
right, the best answer I got from that question was somebody said Peanuts. Like, just put me in Peanuts. Oh, okay. Hang out with Snoopy all day.
Sure.
There's
sure.
No, like, earth ending, you know, villain Snoopy's, every day.
Snoopy's so mean, though. He's like so mean to Charlie Brown, you know.
Well, then if we're going like that level of comic, then I think like Garfield. I want to live in a world where this cat is eating lasagna, and like, that sounds pretty good.
And just have sleepovers with the cat eating lasagna.
Right, your best there friend you is a lasagna eating cat.
Yeah, sounds that good
sounds,
to me.
That sounds pretty good.
All right, here.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know what I mean. For me, it'd be like, I think like the Frank Miller's Daredevil, like anything that's got that 70s kind of New York, like, kind of vibe. Even though it's not particularly pleasant, it's just like,
right,
I do have, having moved to New York in the early 90s. And at the time, it felt very sanitary, but in retrospect, it was still like kind of grungy. But I do kind of long for like what it must have been like living in New York, like in the late 70s or early 80s, that kind of thing, you know. But I'm sure it was bleak, yeah. But, you know, welcome.
Not
aboard.
If you were there, maybe. Who knows?
Welcome aboard. Right. Exactly.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be? Everybody asks that question.
Stephanie did a whole panel on this.
Yeah.
At San Diego.
And my answer, which is still a pretty good answer, is just like, eat whatever I want. But like, none of it, you don't, it's not unhealthy. It doesn't have any of the negative effects. So you could just like eat
That's
a hamburger for
ever.
Every single. I lost. I was not the one that won that panel. I was close. But and I'm still like, everybody in that room is a liar, because everybody knows this is the superpower they want. Like, no bad negative effects from eating whatever you want, whenever you want, the time.
Out of 52 episodes, you're the winner. So
yes.
Oh, there you go.
All right. That's exciting.
All right, Will, what do you want?
I always wanted X-ray vision when I was a kid, but probably not for like the right reasons. I don't know, like the Flash. I thought the Flash had good powers. I always liked the Flash's powers, like to be able to kind of do stuff. I'm too afraid of heights to fly, even though flight would be very cool. Invisibility, maybe you could, like, you know, you could probably blur a lot of lines with invisibility, steal, you know, jewels out of the
Louvre. Steal things from the Louvre.
Out of the Louvre. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You apparently don't need to be invisible. You just need a chainsaw, a stair truck.
You need a lift and a scooter. Yeah, a yellow vest. Yeah, exactly.
Yellow vest. That, I love stories.
Who knew?
Like that.
I mean,
I don't know.
We all would have been robbing the Louvre more if we knew.
Like, how many last minute Halloween costumes just got created? That's what I want to know. Any party you get invited to on October 30th, just go get yourself a yellow vest and some cheap jewelry, and you're like, good to go.
Yeah, some jewels and a scooter. The scooter is really what's making this for me. If my getaway vehicle is a scooter, like, that's fantastic.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
I love that. Yeah. I did not have the Louvre showing up on my script.
See, this is how we do it, man. Oh, there's thumbs up.
There's more.
Oh, yeah, wait, apparently. Oh, no, it just like made a thumbs up. Wait, no.
Really?
There we go. Yeah.
Now, do your favorite one. This is the one that you're always like.
Yes!
Yeah.
Wait, what is happening?
Oh, thanks. You just taught my daughter that. Now every episode is going to be, you know, fireworks behind her.
It's awesome.
It should be, honestly.
Right.
I don't know. I can't get mine to do it. But, oh, she does it all the time. It's amazing.
I know. It's like you need to get some really bad news. It's like, I'm sorry, we're canceling your
bad
book.
News, and
it's
right? Like, exactly.
Oh, good. It's not working.
Good for your therapist.
Maybe it doesn't work on an iPad. She's on an iPad.
Oh,
screen,
maybe.
So.
All right.
Yeah. Who knows? I'm crying. Maybe Stephanie's paying extra for that. We don't know.
Maybe.
It's an added. Yeah, I had them added install feature? It specifically. Gotcha. Yeah, the Mac store.
I've never seen that.
It's amazing. I can't get it to work either. I can't get it to work either.
Dang it.
Anytime we're on a Zoom, and there's a thumbs down one, there's a thumbs up one, and then the fireworks.
Maybe, maybe there's too much in my background. That's probably what
could
it
be.
Is.
Could
maybe.
Be.
Maybe.
All right. Which comic book character would you want as your sidekick? Any comic book character.
Oh.
I don't know. Will, do you have an answer for this?
See, these are those hard-hitting questions.
Probably Professor X, because he could tell you like what everyone's really thinking.
Ooh. You know,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
A little mind reading.
I mean, I was almost going She-Hulk because, she's fun. She's giant. She can like move things for you. She can stop any fight you need, and then she can also provide legal defense.
Right, she's a lawyer too.
Right.
That seems pretty good.
I did enjoy the Imperial one shot you wrote, so I will be getting the other ones. So I'll be getting
those. Yeah,
those
are
on the poll list.
It's a lot of fun.
Thank you,
Anika. You got two of these questions on your sheet.
What?
Yeah.
The big ones.
The bigger questions.
The ones that are this.
These are the ones. You really got to stick. You got to stick the landing here. Let's do it.
Okay. What is your favorite comic book you've ever read?
Ooh.
I think Daredevil Born Again for me is my favorite.
The ones that you haven't read.
What's your favorite comic you haven't read? That's a very philosophical question.
No, that you have read.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow, this is like, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound?
What's we're the not favorite? That smart.
What's the what's the best comic you've never read? Like,
I'm adding that question. Thanks.
So, right, exactly. What did you say? You said Born Again?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
I
would
Born
say
Again.
Batman Year One is my favorite comic.
Okay. Next. What is your favorite? Like you wrote?
My favorite is always like what I'm working on currently. So, it's tough because that's what you're in the mindset of. So it's really tough to be like, oh, this thing I wrote 4 years ago at the time when I was writing it, it was my favorite. I've spent all week, last week, today working on She-Hulk. So it's something that I'm really engrossed in. But then the minute I switch over next week, Spider-Gwen is on my schedule, so once I start writing that, it's like, oh yeah, this is my favorite. Right. I mean, Grimm is really special to me because I really think I think it pushed my career in a way in a new direction. The way it's sold, being able to do like an ongoing series for a creator owned is pretty rare. Getting to go 25 issues with it, really what that book has done for me professionally. The relationship I have with Flaviano, getting to bring Will on to kind of help us finish up and edit that and make something that we really love. So I think that turned into a really special project as well. But usually it is like, my answer would always be like, oh, I was writing She-Hulk today, so it's She-Hulk, but ask me next week when I'm writing Spider-Gwen and the answer will be different. So
I definitely want to get Grimm. That's one that I haven't gotten yet. I definitely want to get into that and read it. And I think she would like that too.
Yeah.
She can read Harley. She can read Grimm, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Right,
cool. Harley's probably too much over it, but whatever. I take the Gary V approach to parenting. So, mm-hmm. You know. All right, Will, what's the one you edited? Your favorite one?
Whatever Stephanie is doing. That's what's my favorite.
Wow, you got
to dance with the one that brought you, you know?
Right.
Otherwise, it's too hard. I mean, I have like secret ones probably that I would lean towards, you know, if you really had me, but it's like, who's your favorite kid? You know, like it's a tricky question, you know?
That's the hardest hidden question, right? All right. Last one of this is, if your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
I'm Ooh, cooler on TikTok like this.
That's the t-shirt. You heard it here first. T-shirt's coming soon.
What would the title be, you said?
Yep. What would the title be if your life were a comic book?
Boy. Maybe it'd just be an ellipse. That's what mine would be. That's what I want. Good. That's what I've said I want on my tombstone. I just want ... on the tombstone.
Wow. That's pretty good, actually.
I think second would be, don't dream it, be it. That's our favorite quote from Rocky Horror. We were just having a big Rocky Horror talk the other day.
Yeah.
I don't know if Annika is ready for Rocky Horror, but maybe
sooner. No, not yet. I love One some day. Meatloaf.
There's a lot of good messages in there. Well, it's funny you mentioned Meatloaf in there because Stephanie has a little known fact about herself related to Rocky Horror and Meatloaf. Go ahead
just
and tell
like
us.
How much I love it.
No, just that's your favorite song. If someone asks you, what's your favorite song from Rocky Horror, you're going to say.
Hot Patootie is.
Hot Patootie.
Yeah, that's the best. That's the best Rocky Horror song.
I grew up a huge Meatloaf fan. Rest in
peace, Meatloaf. My dad showed it to me when I was really young. So when the Spice World movie came out, and one of my friends like had a party, we were in first grade, second grade, and she had a party for the Spice World movie, and Meatloaf is the bus driver for the Spice Girls in Spice World, and he appears on screen, like, you know, he opens the bus door and I was like, it's Meatloaf, and my friend's dad is like, yeah, and then he's like, wait, how do you know who? Like, you're like a 7-year-old, why you're watching the Spice Girls movie and your reaction to it is, oh my god, it's Meatloaf.
Wait, but so your dad introduced you to Meatloaf through Rocky Horror when you were
not through Rocky Horror.
We should have done the whole episode on this,
right?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like, no, I did not see Rocky Horror until later, but no, he had introduced me to Meatloaf.
How do we get the he was very to into Meatloaf. It
Yeah, he was also an amazing fantasy football player, actually.
I did not know that.
He would go to Vegas every year for like the world championships and like won some years and stuff. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Go figure. Who knew? Me. I knew. Actually.
Yeah, now we know.
Will Dennis knew. That's fantastic. Annika, do you have any other questions?
Come on, Annika. You must have some.
They're not. You're done with the ones. Well, yeah. Okay. Or do you want to do the this or that? Can you? Do we have 5 minutes to do this or that?
Sure.
That's her favorite part of every episode. Be easy on the points. Don't be mean to them like you are to me. Should we do this or that? She gives them. It's like Whose Line. Everything's made up, and the points don't matter. But she gives me like negative points. But I'm not answering this time. So
I'm free.
All right, Annika, do this or that.
What first? Or script first.
Ooh.
Plot.
Are you waiting
for me? Do you want to answer? I mean, you don't have to.
Oh, no, I don't. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
We'll just have Stephanie answer.
Sure.
All right, there you go.
It's already well along before anybody calls me.
Okay, did you put plot?
Yeah, she said plot first.
Correct.
She's already doing better than me.
Well, there's right and wrong. All right.
Yeah, sure. Favorite thing, right and wrong.
I don't think this or that would have right or wrong, but in her version, it does. She has a made-up version of this game.
I love this
game. This is amazing.
Okay, digital draft or old school notebook?
Old school notebook.
Correct.
2 for 2. Man, I am... Stephanie, you got to teach me how to play this game.
This is amazing.
You just got to get them right, AJ. I don't know.
This is amazing. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Boy, the sisters are doing it for themselves here.
Okay, you're at 1,000 points. Okay.
Not bad.
Coffee-fueled writing or late-night crunch? I'm reading this off the script.
Coffee. Coffee-fueled writing. Yeah.
Okay, correct.
Okay. Oh, that one. I was unsure about that one. All right.
Yeah, that was touch and go.
That was okay. Dicey.
Next. Working solo or collaborating with a team?
Working solo.
Correct.
I would have got that one wrong if this was like the newlywed
yeah,
game.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Well, I figure what you mean is like sitting, like writing the script, like just sitting like alone in an office and like writing it versus, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because different parts of it are then collaborative. So it's, that's a tough one.
Hey, listen, your first all answer. Right, stick to your first answer, like the SAAs.
All right.
Or picking okay. fantasy football players.
Editorial deadline or creative freedom?
Ooh.
Creative freedom.
Correct.
Jeez. All right. Wow.
I don't know how. I'm so bad at this game.
Right. I know. I would have got that one. I would have got that one wrong too. Actually.
Take notes.
Yeah, I am. Lots.
I think Annika's got a career as a editor ahead of her if she really stays with us.
Story arc planning or one shot focus.
Story arc planning, I think, is my preference.
Correct.
That's amazing. Wow.
By the way, I'm not making this up. I'm picking one, and then whatever she says.
She did tell me in the car that I was losing no matter what. I said, well, I'm not playing this time, so.
I know.
Okay. Long-term series or short mini series?
Well, I like long term. I like spending a long time with the character.
Correct.
Oh, thank you.
You're learning so much about yourself today. It's amazing.
Okay. Original IP or licensed franchise?
Man, I like both of them. But my livelihood, like most of my income, is based on my original IP, so I have to back my original IP on that.
Okay.
That's correct. Awesome.
Correct.
Wow. Oh.
Okay. Notes in red pen or digital comp?
I'd have never received notes in red pen, so I guess I gotta go digital on that. Like, I mean, I love handwriting, but all of the notes I get are all digital, so...
Oh, I'll have to start using a red pen.
Right, exactly. I know. We gotta get some red pen action going.
I don't own a red pen.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Unless you have your red pencil in your hand.
I do, yeah, right, exactly.
Ready to go. All right. I'll get a fax machine and we can start.
Oh my god.
A whole new.
Don't get me started on that. The first whole years of my career, everything was done over fax.
Ugh.
Okay, brainstorming session or silent focus time?
Ooh, I love brainstorming sessions.
That's true. She does.
Okay.
Half the fun of my TikToks are her trying to pronounce words. So I like making those reels. They get really funny.
I can pronounce words.
I know, go ahead.
I actually can't pronounce words. I just like pretending not to for the
The best example was it was Colossus versus somebody, and she was like Colossusu.
Colossusu.
That's what we're calling him from now on. Colossusu.
That's way better.
Yeah, really. It's the most interesting thing I've ever heard about him, actually.
Okay. Deadline met. Or I can't pronounce that.
Perfection achieved. or deadline.
This is
right to the soul of the matter for her.
Yeah. Can I like? Ooh. If this were this is the moment that like
I know yeah. this is you push all your chips into the center of the table for this one.
If I go, so it's also an answer.
Is there some way you could signal look at her? That. Yeah.
She gave you an out. Oh come on!
I told you these girls are they're this is how they do it. That's good. You guys yep. gotta stick
both
together.
Is an answer. I wanna make it perfect by the deadline.
That is 100% true.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes that's all you get, though. Like, I mean, if you've got an artist that was waiting on pages, like, that's what you got. That's what you got to do it within. So,
yeah.
I'm going to do my best.
You got to ship it at some point.
Awesome. Well,
that's amazing.
That wraps up. Wait, go ahead.
Let me show you. Bonus round.
There's too many zeros.
Okay.
But you got like a bazillion points, apparently.
Wow.
That's
Stephanie's very competitive, score. So she's going to be happy that she scored the most points of anyone who's ever been on the show.
For 100% she has, because I get that many zeros, but it has a negative in front of it.
This is great. This is cheaper than therapy. I love this show.
Well, you're welcome back anytime.
We're working out all of our stuff here. This is great. Thanks for sharing, everybody.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for joining. I really appreciate it. It's been amazing. We have a lot of cool stuff. I hope we get to, I'll get it out here in a couple days. Uh-huh. But thank you guys so much. We just have to stay on for a couple minutes after we say bye or whatever. But, thanks again. I appreciate you guys being on.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you for having me.
It's amazing. You guys are great.
Thank you.
Glad I recorded that part.
In a world of heroes, villains, and epic stories,
Braha, Anakin, and their ultimate sidekick, Panel P, take you on adventures each week.
Showing off their comic book hauls,
fun trivia and games, honest reviews,
and inspiring conversations with creators and consumers who make it all possible.
Join in on the conversation.
This is Talking Comics.